For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
And we are live. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. I am one of your hosts, Blake Ruffino. This is my co-host, Joe DeLeon. We got some breaking news, Joe, as we come on the show. Jim Harbaugh is taking his coaching talents to Los Angeles to be the next head coach of the Chargers. What do you think?
I'm not stunned. Because it started to really pick up steam since this morning, and this started to seem like this was going to be something that was coming. And we even spent time after the national championship multiple times talking about, do we think Jim Harbaugh's leaving? We both said yes. It's crazy. I think that this is – the timing of it sucks because we just watched what happened with Alabama, and I'm curious to see how this impacts the decision-making for the next hire – for Michigan's head coaching opening. I would assume it would be Sharon Moore. We're going to dive into that later on. But, I mean, hey, man, Brian Kelly's always on the table, right, Blake?
Yeah, Billy Lucci, Texas, said that he's going to Michigan. So, I mean, a lot of LSU people did too. So, there's only one guy who said it's not going to happen, and then it was this guy. So, let's see whose sources win on this one. Nevertheless, Joe, we got to talk about what does it mean that Harbaugh is going to the Chargers. How do we like the move, him going to the Chargers? I honestly think it's a really good one for him because he's got a good quarterback. He's got to get a better offensive line in there. I would expect him to bring some coaches with him. Let's see how that goes. Probably his DC and mentor. But we'll talk about the potential coaching replacements. Does Sharon Moore make sense? Does Lance Leipold make some sense? The Kansas head coach, even though he just signed an extension, do they go after a guy like Lance Leipold, who would make some realistic sense for Michigan? Players can't enter the portal. What does this impact mean, Joe, that he's leaving at this late of a date into the cycle? We'll talk about that as well. I'm sure we'll spend a lot of chunk of the show that Harbaugh is heading to the Chargers. But in the case that we don't spend the whole show on it, Joe, we'll also talk about, I think, ACC projections, maybe Jeff Lebby early projections, but we'll play that a little bit by ear because we do got some Harbaugh that we have to talk about. And Will Rogers staying in Washington. Okay, what are you?
Not exciting.
Not really exciting. I was hoping he would go to Alabama with Kalen DeBoer.
Not really. I think that him staying in Washington moves the needle a little bit more than him going to Alabama because I don't even know if he necessarily gets onto the field.
I just want to see Alabama's downfall.
So that's what it really is. You wanted to see Will Rogers drag Alabama down with him.
So here's what I really wanted to see. I just wanted to see Alabama fans try to defend it. But they got a big commitment today. They got a massive commitment today. Ryan Williams, a five-star receiver, committed to Bama. So DeBoer
making moves.
I mean, he's going to have to do more than this because this was already trending that way. I mean, he didn't have to. I mean, let's pump the brakes. He still lost a lot, but I just wanted to see Alabama fans have to defend Will Rogers. That's all.
Yeah, it's a fair point. Good for Kalen DeBoer to bring in Ryan Williams, though. A kid who I believe decommitted and they got him to recommit. Wide receivers, I don't think are going to ever be hard, or quarterbacks to really be hard for Kalen DeBoer to recruit. It's just going to all come down to, do they capably bring in any offensive and defensive linemen that are going to do damage? And that's, you know, that remains to be seen.
Does remain to be seen, but we got lots and lots of things we got to talk about here tonight, Joe, because of this man right here, Jim Harbaugh.
So intense.
Jim Harbaugh leaving the University of Michigan and heading to LA for the Chargers. So let's waste no time. Everybody do us a favor by hitting the like and share. If you're on Facebook, do us a favor. Hit the like button, hit the share to all those groups, share to all those social media pages. If you're watching us, listening to us on YouTube, like, subscribe, and notification bell. And wherever you're listening to podcasts, rate, review, and subscribe. Joe, let's talk about our good friends over at betonline.ag. Harbaugh out. Maybe Sharon Moore in, but we got lots to discuss on that. We do that next.
BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way for you to wager on all of your favorite sports, contests, events, with the first-to-market odds and lines. Find reviews for all the news for each league, including Major League Baseball, NFL, NBA, NHL, combat sports, college sports, esports, and even golf. BetOnline continues to be the top online resource for all of your sports information for live, in-game betting, props, and futures. Head on over to BetOnline today and use your mobile device to join and make your first sports bet. Use our promo code BELIEVE50, that's BELIEVE50, BLEAV50, to receive your 50% off welcome bonus on your first deposit. That's BetOnline.ag, BetOnline.ag.
We're back! And just like that, Ohio State fans channeling their inner Texas and saying they're back, Joe, with Jim Harbaugh leaving.
Yeah, I don't know if the Chargers have ever been anywhere. So no, I don't know if that really
Ohio State. Ohio State fans are cheering from the rafters.
Well, is this all it took? Is that I will say, and I'm sorry to take this dig at Ohio State fans who I was defending very aggressively the other day. Kind of lame that the only way for you to regain the top of the conference is with impending NCAA punishments and also a head coach leaving that was kicking your butt over the past couple of years. A little bit lame that now is when you're going to be reclaiming all that. Which, to the counterpoint there, they recognize the opportunity. They know that they need to invest.
It's Harbaugh the same thing for Urban to leave, for him to start taking the rivalry over.
That's a good point. That's a great, great point. And now's the time for Ryan Day to seize this opportunity. He can't mess it up.
God, if he loses to Michigan next year, they're going to fire him.
I mean,
if he loses,
you're right. You're right. If that does happen, they absolutely will fire him. And they should fire him.
They probably should. Let's get to it. Joe, it's breaking today. Ian Rappaport, Adam Schefter, both reporting that Jim Harbaugh is heading to L.A. to the Chargers, leaving Michigan after winning the national title this year. Very quickly, what do you think about the move with Harbaugh to the Chargers?
Yeah, as I said in the open, not really surprised by this. We saw this starting to gain steam, and it makes a lot of sense why, with the timing of everything, why he would pursue the opportunity to leave the NCAA. We understand everything that could be coming down the pipeline in terms of punishment. There is an investigation going on with the sign stealing scandal. We don't know the severity of it. Is it a bowl ban? Is it vacated wins? We don't really know. But
is he to show calls, you know, right? Like,
is it a full season long suspension?
Right.
It's in Harbaugh's best interest to move on to the NFL. And we knew that this is something that he had considered for multiple years over the past couple of seasons, especially most recently with the Minnesota Vikings. He was successful and got the San Francisco 49ers to the Super Bowl. We know that he was good enough of a coach to win a national championship. And now here is an opportunity for him to pursue a Super Bowl, to get that final infinity stone and the gauntlet, if you will, that he's trying to go after. But yeah, I'm not surprised by this. He's on to the next thing.
Let me just say this in reference to the Chargers. It's a great move for them because you have a really good and young quarterback that you drafted. You have a lot of good offensive pieces. Harbaugh is an offensive-minded guy. I think the biggest winner in all of this is Justin Herbert. Like, without question, it's Justin Herbert, because the offense that he's going to want to run, Joe, he hasn't changed anything. Harbaugh isn't really changed anything from the NFL to college. He's a tough nose, line it up, run the football, but they're going to be a little bit more open in the NFL with him. Okay, this also solidifies everybody talking about J.J. McCarthy going with Harbaugh in the draft. That is not going to happen because they're going to stay with Justin Herbert. But it's a big, big win, in my opinion, for the Chargers. Joe, coaches have and specifically head coaches are different, man. Sometimes there are scratches that you just have to itch. We've seen Saban leave college. He went to Miami. He tried it out in the NFL. He obviously came back. But I think that Harbaugh, like the one thing that he wants more than anything is a Super Bowl. And so, look, he's, regardless of what you think about him, regardless if you think, you know, they cheated and he's a little bit of a slime ball or, you know, people make fun of him, Joe, because he wears khakis and he wears cleats and he drinks, you know, he brags about drinking large glasses of milk. You know, like in an interview, he's talking about the large glasses of milk that he drinks. Regardless of all the craziness of Harbaugh, this is a damn strong hire for the Chargers. Nobody should be more excited than Justin Herbert. But we are not an NFL show. We are a college football show. But just to talk about the move, Joe's a national title-winning coach. And I know that the NFL and the NCAA is different, but we've seen the man get Colin Kaepernick at quarterback, the San Francisco's 49ers, to a Super Bowl. Right? Like, this isn't like he can't get there. He wins everywhere he goes. Literally wins everywhere he goes. So good for the Chargers and good on, I think it's what, the Spanos family for making the move. Yeah. So good on them.
Well, and to just continue the thoughts here for the Chargers before we kind of bring it back to the college football angle, it's a very high floor hire. There hasn't been a single place that he's gone when he was the head coach at University of San Diego, when he was at Stanford, and then when he ended up with the 49ers and then back at Michigan, that he didn't have a consistent winning record. The one bad year that they had was during COVID, and that was a whole mess. And, you know, we don't need to rehash.
Can we really blame him for that?
Right. That's what I'm saying. We don't need to relive the complications. There were a lot of weird things that happened with teams that were good when they weren't supposed to be, like Indiana, and then bad when they weren't supposed to be, like Michigan. He has been so consistently good, and I think that at the very worst, you're going to have a consistent playoff team, whether it's a wild card team, whether it's winning the division. This is what the Chargers needed to bring themselves back to relevance. I think that this, as you talked about, is the perfect situation, and just in terms of the roster construction at the moment, for Jim Harbaugh to take it and to hit the ground running like he's done it every single job that he's had. He did that with the 49ers. He did that with Michigan. Again, he has hit the ground running every single time that he has taken over a job over the past few jobs that he's been a part of. They've got really good defensive pieces. They're very physical up front, and they can be physical up front. Their offensive line needs a little bit of work. But the biggest part here is that Justin Herbert has a lot of really good receivers. I mean, one could argue that there's the, you know, the shell of what he needs to build the NFL's version of Michigan, which is built along the lines of scrimmage, running the football, developing your offense on rolling out and play action and moving and throwing on the run, all of that stuff. The bones are there for him to do that with the Los Angeles Chargers.
Let me ask you the question and the big elephant in the room. Does this signify that Michigan's about to get popped by the NCAA? Because let me tell you this. It's not as if Harbaugh has not had the opportunities to go other places, Joe. A lot of people report, well, this happened when he interviewed this time. That happened when, you know, he interviewed that time. I don't really buy that. I think he makes this move solely because of a thing, too. Number one, he's a national title winner, okay? And number two, he holds all the pieces and the cards here on where he wants to go. All NFL teams that have openings would have taken Harbaugh. That's just the truth. Does this signify for Michigan that the NCAA is about to come down hard on them with some sanctions?
I think so. I had kind of heard a little bit of a murmur that something was potentially coming. I don't know what it is. Shut up. I don't know exactly what it's going to be, but yes, the timing does make me kind of think, does this mean that something is going to be coming? I think yes, at the very least in the next month. I know that that's a really massive window, but in the scheme of the NCAA moving at an incredibly snail-like pace and it also being the off season, a month sounds pretty realistic. We could maybe even hear something by the end of the week that something's coming. But yeah, it sounded like that disrupted the capability of Harbaugh renegotiating with Michigan to stay. I don't think that he really wanted to stay. He just wanted to have that on the table so that he could properly get the best deal possible from the Chargers or the Atlanta Falcons. But it did seem to impact his ability to get the salary that he was looking for if he decided to go back to Michigan because of the implications that would come into place of, you know, is he suspended? Is he suspended without pay? How does that all look?
So let me just say this too about Harbaugh, because with everything that's come out, I think one thing gets missed and we don't talk about as much. Joe, he's still a really damn good coach. Like, Joe, I remember when I first came on to Believe with AYS, and I took a lot of ridicule because we used to have a segment that we would just talk about all college football, okay? Like, all we did was talk about college football. Kind of like I just did a segment twice a week, kind of like just what we're doing the show on. And Harbaugh lost like three straight against Ohio State. And I was like, guys, you can't hit the panic button. Like, you cannot hit the panic button. In 2020, okay, after the bad COVID year, I came out, Joe, and said something that people ridiculed me for in reference to, I thought that he still could win a national championship at Michigan. Got obliterated, okay? Mm-hmm. Long story short, we're here. I think what gets missed in all this, because Harbaugh leaving, them winning a national title and a cheating scandal, like, I know Ohio State fans will be probably the only fan base that disagrees with me here. They will say, well, he's just a cheater. Okay, well, cool. He's still a really good coach, Joe, and this is a massive home run hire for the Chargers. And I think that goes unnoticed and missed from a college football aspect.
Yeah, that just kind of final thought on the departure aspect before I think we're going to, you know, really dive into what does this mean next for Michigan. But he deserves recognition for the success that he did produce at Michigan. And it had been a very long time, multiple head coaches in the past 20 years of not even coming close. Like, there were a lot of down years. And me being a Notre Dame fan, yeah, I absolutely relished in the fact that Notre Dame was beating the crap out of Michigan most years. You know, we had Brady Hoke, we had Rich Rod. They were consistently not only mediocre, but there were a lot of years where they were below mediocre. They were not a good football program. It felt like Michigan was really starting to get passed by, and he really raised the standard at Michigan. He really improved the quality of play to the point where they're consistently churning out not just championship caliber teams over the past couple of years, but since he first got there, a lot of NFL draft picks, a lot of first round draft picks, a lot of defensive backs, a lot of defensive linemen. And he's about to potentially put a first-round quarterback into the NFL because of his recruitment, because of his player development. I think it really is proof of how good of a head coach he has been in the college ranks. And it sucks in 20 years from now, 30 years from now, I think our understanding and our legacy of him is probably going to be a little bit marred. I don't think it's totally justified because of the one thing that happened.
You don't think that people are going to envy, like, man, you know what I think is going to happen? I think teams are like big, high profile teams are going to make coaching changes. And if things start not working out with the Chargers, Harbaugh's name's constantly going to come up.
Oh, for college jobs.
For college jobs.
Yeah.
I don't think this is the end all be all. It might be for Harbaugh.
I think it is. I mean, he's kind of up there.
Remember how John Gruden's name, before he went to the Raiders, how it always came up, like everybody was going to hire John Gruden?
Yeah, but John Gruden is a lot younger. Like, John Gruden's only 60 now. Yeah,
that's true. But I just think that, you know, we'll see. But I do think that people...
Oh, they're both 60.
I just think people, like, once time passes, his legacy will continue. And you know what's going to amplify that?
What?
Is when the next head coach doesn't beat Ohio State consistently. It's good. His legend, yeah. His legend at Michigan's going to build because they're not beating Ohio State. That's what's going to happen.
Right.
Okay. All right. So let's talk about some potential replacements. Joe, obviously with Harbaugh going to the Chargers, there's obviously a hole to fill at the head coaching position. Let's start with a couple of candidates. Now, it's being reported by a lot of people already that Sherrone Moore, their offense coordinator, who did step in a lot this past season as the interim, that he was going to be the heir apparent next head coach for Michigan if Harbaugh were to leave. We've had this conversation before, and if you remember, Joe, remember when I told you that Michigan should kick the tires on Kalen DeBoer? It's funny that literally Kalen DeBoer is now in Alabama, but do you remember that conversation that we had?
Yeah.
That Michigan should kick the tires? I still think they need to do that. Don't make Sherrone Moore the end-all, be-all for you, at least in my opinion. But what do you think? Let's go through some of these candidates. What do you think they ultimately do, and who are some other candidates that you think could get the job at Michigan?
Yeah, so some of the other names that we've kind of seen thrown into the conversation, Lance Leipold from Kansas, Chris Klieman from Kansas State, who I think that Lance Leipold justifiably belongs in the conversation, a Midwest guy, but I would argue I think Chris Klieman might be a better candidate because he's got such a long history of being a successful head coach at the FCS level where he won multiple national championships. If you want to bring somebody in who's going to raise your program and continue that standard, I think Chris Kleiman's a really underrated name to consider. And then Dave Clawson from Wake Forest. But here's at the end of the day to bridge off of the point that you just made. If you're going to interview outside candidates, you sure as shit better move quick. You better move really freaking quick because we just saw an example of what happens if you don't with Alabama. Then Alabama's not hurting. They're hurting. They're not in like a complete doomsday messed up situation. They retained some of their talent, but they lost a lot of talented kids. They lost two of the top freshmen from this past year. And we spent 2 weeks talking about the severity of losing some of the guys that they did and what Kalen DeBoer needs to do and all that crap. They have a perfect example sitting in front of them. Luckily, signing day is far enough past that they need to know and make this decision quick without losing any guys.
All right. So here we go. I'm going to say something that's unpopular, okay? And Alex, we'll get to your super chats right after this. I'm going to say something that's unpopular. I don't know if Sherrone Moore should be the guy. Like, I understand what he did for you in the interim. Joe, you cannot be scared of players hitting the portal, though, okay? I get this whole narrative. Well, guys are hitting the – you know, do you want guys hitting the portal? It's so late in the process. Joe, you got to make the right head coaching hire. Like, are we going to be here in 3 years saying, oh, well, Michigan needs to move on for Sherrone Moore. He's learning on the job. He's making bad decisions on the job. It's different being in the interim. Okay, and I know that he won a high-profile game this past year. But I don't know if Michigan is the place for your first head coaching job. Joe, as a Notre Dame fan, you're learning this right now. Like, you're literally learning this right now if you're Notre Dame. Ohio State fans, you've learned it with Ryan Day of guys learning on the job. I am not completely saying that Moore should not be the next head coach of Michigan. You better do your due diligence, though, and make sure he's your guy because there are dudes out there like Chris Klieman, a guy like Lance Leipold, who, by the way, John, I'm just going to tell you, the guy that they should go hire is Lance Leipold. Like, he is the dude that they should go and hire because he's been in the Midwest. He's a tough-nosed dude. He's going to develop at an insane level. You could make the argument, Joe, right now in the last 3 years, he's been the best developer of talent based off of what he saw at Kansas.
Wait, like, who is he really developed, though, at Kansas?
It does, Joe, he's taken no star dudes, and they've gotten an eight-win season.
I think that's more less development, more taking advantage of knowing how to use his roster effectively. But I get what you're saying. I'm pushing back on this because
hold on 1 second. Development though is putting your players in the right position to make let them make plays.
Okay, but I push back on the Lance Leipold being such a greater option than Sherrone Moore or some of these other guys. I like him as a coach, but what big games has Lance Leipold won as a Power Five coach? We're kind of going off of this assumption that he has raised the floor.
Kalen DeBoer, but your argument about Kalen DeBoer is
Kalen DeBoer beat Oregon twice. Kalen DeBoer beat Oregon twice and won the Pac-12 championship.
Ranked opponent twice. Good job.
But Lance Leipold hasn't done any of that. And I know that it's hard to win at Kansas. What he has done is a very difficult thing, but is he more of a Kansas coach?
Was ranked 2 years ago.
That Texas team wasn't very good, though. They shouldn't have been. That Texas team?
Yes,
that Texas team didn't fit.
The fullback that got the Chili's, or was it Applebee's NIL deal? They asked the fullback after he scored a 2-point conversion, "What are you going to do?" And he goes, "I'm going to Applebee's."
I just don't think that Leipold is this blatant, clear next great head coach. I don't think that he is.
You're a buffoon.
I at least have evidence of Sherrone Moore winning important football games. He's done it with the Michigan roster, with the current Michigan roster. And all you hear about is how all the players love Sherrone Moore.
He won a big game.
Beating Ohio State is the most important game of the season for them.
Who put that roster together? Who put that coaching staff together? By the way, Mentor's probably going to leave, and he's got to hire a DC. Now, it's probably going to be their D-line coach. Who was y'all's D-line coach at Notre Dame? Mike Elston?
Elston's
probably going to elevate Elston. But
probably.
This isn't just on the field. You can take a game or a few games from somebody who built something, right? COOs do this for CEOs all the time. Hey, I'm going on vacation. Run the business. Make sure that you don't run it into the ground. I've already established all of this for you. Joe, we're not talking about a one-year deal. We're talking 2, 3, 4, 5-year deals where coaches are going to leave. He's going to have to recruit. He's going to have to develop. This is not just a microwave McDonald's going through the drive-thru scenario. This is at minimum a 3-year deal here.
He has at least been a part of building the current structure of the success. When you want to keep
Ryan
someone
Day that's was the same for Urban and it had to them, has it worked?
Okay. I have been critical of Ryan Day, but at the same time, it's not like Ryan Day's driven that thing into the ground. Ryan Day has fallen short against Michigan, which has hindered their progress, but he's put together some damn good teams. I mean, he put CJ Stroud into the NFL, and I know that we had this whole debate about if they misused him or not.
Is Michigan going to be able to recruit better than Ohio State?
I honestly, first of all, Michigan's recruitment capabilities are different than Ohio State's because of the fact that there are different academic standards that are required for Michigan and whatnot. It is one of the most academically prestigious public schools in the country. It's not easy to get into. It's very, very hard to get into. And I'm sure that is going to run into it. And we see that with a lot of the guys that they bring in are of the Notre Dame, UCLA caliber, Stanford caliber guys that end up going there. So that's something to consider. But I know that Sherrone Moore can recruit at Michigan because I know he wasn't the head coach, but he is a key integral part of bringing in key important players to Michigan. He has been there for that. He knows how to recruit guys and how to sell guys that. I don't know if Lance Leipold or Chris Kleiman can do that.
One side of the football and one position group. Now look, it's going to come off for the way that I am saying this, that I don't like Sherrone Moore or that I don't think that he would have success in Michigan. That's not what I'm saying. Let me reemphasize what I'm trying to say here, okay? He cannot be your only option.
I don't disagree with that. I think you need to pick up the phone, talk to all these people, and move quickly.
I got to be honest. I don't think he can be your number one option.
I don't agree with that.
Okay. Well, it is a massive risk when you hire a first-time head coach that's never been a head coach anywhere else.
Let me ask you this, though. Don't you think that... Say Sherrone Moore is your contingency plan. Say that is it sounds like you should consider him more as a contingency plan rather and consider these guys as primary options. But if that's the truth, do you think that Lance Leipold, Chris Kleiman, Matt Rhule, Dave Clawson, any of these candidates that were already floated out there, do you think any of those guys are going to be willing to step in immediately with impending sanctions being dropped on the program? Like, no, that's going to scare a lot of these guys away.
That's a completely different argument. You bring up a good argument. I don't know if those guys would be taking that. All I'm saying is you got to go and try and get them. But I've also seen coaches that come in under sanctions that get a longer leash and a longer extension and a bigger buyout because they have things that they have to overcome.
Okay.
Now, we'll talk about that probably in a minute because we'll talk about kids hitting the portal and all this other stuff. I like Sherrone Moore. I think he's going to do good at Michigan. I think he's I honestly believe he's going to be the guy at Michigan. But you can't get wrapped up in emotions. Okay, he was a part of being the OC on a team, Joe, that won you the national title. I also remember us coming here in the postgame show when they played Washington and saying they had some – like him getting going against the run. Like them starting to throw the ball in the second half when Donovan Edwards was out there running dudes over, right? Like they got away from their game plan and made it a closer game. I just don't know if Michigan or some of these blue blood, and I use that word because fans like that word. I don't know if being a first-time head coach at a prestigious program like Michigan is the way to always go. It has worked out for some places, but some of these coaches that I'm going to mention have had head coaching experience elsewhere. I think the Ed Orgeron 2019 national champion thing is so overblown. But, Joe, let me ask you this question. If Harbaugh wouldn't have been suspended and he would have left, let's say he would have left last year, who would have been your top choice?
Well, Sherrone Moore wouldn't have been because he had one less year under his belt and he had less time. I don't even know.
Because he didn't run things into the ground, which, by the way, Harbaugh was at practice every day throughout those weeks. Every day he was at practice. They had a game plan that they executed. All I'm saying is you cannot be scared to go and get somebody else because, oh, well, Sherrone Moore was in the interim. You don't have to – Can I be real with you? When people do that, it sometimes feels a little bit lazy to me.
I don't think it's lazy. I would agree it's lazy that if you had an assistant who had less glowing review. This is such a unique circumstance, I honestly personally think. Like I think that Sherrone Moore is even more of a slam dunk of a decision and more of a go-to decision than the Ryan Day decision for Ohio State. Like Ryan Day made sense, but I don't think a lot of people are like, oh my God, like you have to hire Ryan Day. You have to hire Ryan Day. It was, a little bit less excitable. I think that with Sherrone Moore here, so many people have given him glowing reviews over the past year and a half. So many people have said that Sherrone Moore is eventually going to be a great head coach somewhere. And you might miss out on that opportunity to promote him and have him be that next great head coach now. It sounds extremely hypocritical for me to say that because I've been frustrated by Marcus Freeman, but the reality of it is if Marcus Freeman does become the capable head coach that he is able to be, I would feel pretty shitty if they moved on from him and then he goes and ends up being a hell of a coach somewhere else. I think the other part of this, though, Blake, and I said this earlier, and it doesn't sound like you agree with me, but I think you should be fearful of guys leaving in the transfer portal. I think if you promote Sherrone Moore, none of these guys are going to willingly leave because they have already been through battles with this guy and they're willing to be a part of what the vision he's trying to build going forward. The best way to hit the ground running into next year is by retaining your roster and it not leaving. And if you have Sherrone Moore compared to other guys that weren't recruited by Lance Leipold, Chris Kleiman, whoever it might be, those guys staying is only going to help this team continue to have momentum. And if you want it to have momentum, you hire Sherrone Moore. If not, you want to start from scratch, go with another one of these guys.
For the immediate future, I think you're right. But some of those guys, Joe, in the next 2 years, 67% of them will not be there. So all the in less than 2 years, 60% of that roster is going to be brand new dudes that Moore brings in there anyway. I get what you're saying. I don't disagree with what you're saying, but you're again, we're living in the drive-through microwave society. Joe, not this year, but next year, 60% of that roster is going to be brand new dudes that were never under a Harbaugh because they got so many guys leaving. The incoming freshman class, they've never been coached by Harbaugh. None of them. This is Sherrone Moore's class now, regardless if you want to believe it or not, but it is. None of them have been under Harbaugh. And we'll, like you said, we'll talk about the guys hitting the portal in just a minute. I just don't think you can be scared to not want to hire a guy that doesn't have any head coaching experience. Maybe I'm wrong. Now, before I know, I can feel Michigan fans in the comments already, okay, coming after me and saying some crazy things. Well, let me say this, and there is one coach that I do think that I would always call just no matter what. Joe, I think he's going to be good there. I think the culture is established there through Harbaugh. I don't think this would be a bad hire, right? Like, I think it's a good, solid hire. I just don't know if he can get you over the hump where you've been and where you consistently want to be. That's the only thing that I'm saying. Because I think it's going to be so tough for a new head coach to do that. I've seen Ryan Day struggle as an example. It's just a very difficult task to overcome. And by the way, he's got to replace the biggest coach on his entire staff. Harbaugh's already taken a staff member with him. He's taking the strength coach with him. That is the biggest hire a coach can make in football is a strength and conditioning coach. So already off the bat, Sherrone Moore has to make the most significant hire. Joe, I play college football. You play college football.
Yeah.
You spend more time with your strength and conditioning coach more than anybody. Literally.
Yeah, but I just don't know why you don't trust him to make that hire and make that decision.
It's not that I don't trust him. Why is it only in college? Joe, it's like everywhere else in society, like if you go get a new job out of college or – if you try to apply to a position for another job and you have no experience, the likelihood is people aren't going to want to put you as their COO of their company when you have no experience.
But he does
the only place where you could say, hey, this guy has no head coaching experience, so we can hire him because he's a good OC.
I mean, that's like that in any sport, but also like I think with any job, there's two routes to go about it. Do you hire somebody that was an established head coach at a smaller program? I think that has risks that are not usually talked about much because sometimes those guys don't know how to take that next step and really work with a talented roster to be in a national championship conversation. They're really only capable of building up a shitty program.
Yes. If Eli Drinkwitz said yes, would you not want
to? Yeah, I would pick up the phone and I would take Eli Drinkwitz before I would take Lance Leipold, but his name hasn't been brought up.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Once.
All right, can I tell you something?
What?
I don't know if I wouldn't give Eli a call. I know Michigan fans are going to hate that. He's a dork. He doesn't know what to do. He has recruiting limitations at Missouri. He's not going anywhere. I'm just going to tell you, he ain't going to Michigan. But I'd pick up the phone. One more thing, because I think this is significant that we need to talk about. We haven't brought his name up. Okay. It's not just because I'm saying this because I'm an LSU guy.
Okay.
Who has been the number one, outside of Sherrone Moore, who has been the number one guy that everybody has mentioned for the Michigan job?
It shouldn't be Brian Kelly.
But it has been Brian Kelly, has it not?
It has been, and
All right, let's talk on it.
Okay. I know that you have talked about it a lot, and you know,
more than I wanted to.
to take a little bit of off the shoulder, off your shoulders, I agree with you completely. There are enough blatant signals that this guy is not leaving. He literally just signed the top quarterback recruit in the state of Michigan from the state of Michigan to come play for LSU. Why the F would that kid sign if he knew that this was coming?
Well, he committed. And this was a, he didn't sign, but he committed.
Sorry, committed. Why the F would he go through all this to get the kid to commit after everything if he knew that eventually he was going to end up at Michigan? He would have said to the kid, hey, wait a little bit. If you want to come play for me, just wait like a week and then we can, you know, we can revisit this. That didn't happen. All the money that has been spent on the coaching staff, it doesn't make any goddamn sense. All of it. And also on top of that, the amount of money and resources that you're going to have at LSU is way more than what you're going to have in Michigan. Are the expectations slightly lower? Yes. But I think that's kind of lame for Brian Kelly to jump to Michigan and to assume that he's trying to evade higher expectations. He's been at two jobs with high expectations. Why the hell is he suddenly cowering from it? It doesn't make any goddamn sense. Just because the guy coached at Central Michigan 20 years ago, for some goddamn reason, he's brought up in the conversation. He's not even from the Midwest. That's the stupid thing I keep hearing. People ask me, wait, is he from Illinois? Is he from Ohio? He's from Boston. It doesn't make any sense. He's not going there.
Smartpock. Smartpock.
Yeah, he doesn't have the Boston accent.
He does not have the accent whatsoever. All right. Let me just say this because I've talked about this way too much because I covered the damn team. It makes no sense for him for one reason and one reason only. Why would he go there if sanctions are about to, now with something that we didn't talk about? Why would he go there if sanctions are coming from Michigan? Joe, he just donated $1 million of his own salary for an expansion at LSU Football Lives. It just doesn't make any sense to me. None of this has made sense. You know what does make sense? That being leaked so that he gets maybe a raise or an extension.
Or more financial backing to build out his assistant staff.
And he's gotten it. LSU is going to be the highest paid coaching staff in the country. They're about to look. I don't know how many LSU fans are in here, so I'll probably get away with being able to say this. They're going to hire a whole football front office like an NFL team. So the financial backing that Brian Kelly is about to get and has already gotten, and Joe, let's just call it what it is. Just going to say it like I'm just going to pull the Band-Aid right off. Quarterbacks that are number one recruits in the country don't go places for free. I mean, they just don't. He's gotten the things that he's asked for. Now, it hadn't looked pretty at times. He had to fire his whole defensive staff, but people came up to and boosters came up to the plate and said, what do you need? We want to get back to relevancy. I just don't think any of this makes sense. I think it was sourced by somebody who was constantly missed at LSU and religiously missed, even though that he's a high-profile guy. I will just leave it there. I don't think it makes any sense, but we'll see. You know, we'll see. I can't see it, and Michigan fans would hate it. Now, if there is a realistic chance, I'm going to tell Michigan fans this. You better hire him over Sharon Moore. If there's a realistic chance, you should hire him over Sharon Moore.
I just want to add this, though.
Okay.
As much as logic makes sense, the only thing that holds me back slightly is that you and I fought about Denbrock leaving, and you were so adamant. Like, you were so adamant, and I believed you. I absolutely believed you. I was like, yeah, Blake's right. Denbrock is not going to Notre Dame. And that's the different. Unexpected happened. The unexpected happened. I know it is. I'm mostly joking by saying that. That's the only evidence that I can maybe point to where.
I didn't say BK wasn't going.
Okay, you're saying it doesn't make sense.
And then I just can't see it. I never said that he wasn't going.
Regardless, I agree with you. I do not think with everything that this isn't a situation where, you know, where. Like Harbaugh was, even it being publicly covered, going to the Chargers, there was a, like, it was a lot of tea leaves, you know, it was a lot of like, what's he going to do? Or do we know what's going to happen? Brian Kelly has not, he's been so blatantly in the open committed to LSU and building LSU and getting them ready for next year and for the future. It just does not make any sense. You like Dabo, bringing up Dabo for Alabama makes sense because Clemson has not done dick this whole offseason. They haven't done anything. They have done the bare minimum necessary.
He committed to the Illuminati.
Right. He's done the bare minimum necessary to produce a good football program in the ACC. I mean, heck, I didn't even have Clemson written down in my ACC championship predictions. He made sense with Alabama because, you know, you can make that argument of he wasn't doing anything because maybe he knew something. Brian Kelly doesn't do all that shit and then have the intention of, you know, waiting for that phone call to come. He just doesn't.
Let me ask the stupidest question of all time.
Okay.
Do you pick up the phone and ask Nick Saban, what would it take?
No. No. I mean, he did. Honestly, I think that Saban going to Michigan is in the same line as bringing up Brian Kelly going to Michigan, because the same shit. Midwest once is that he makes
let
sense.
Me ask you, let me ask you this question.
Yeah.
If Nick Saban said, I wanted $25 million a year in your Michigan, do you do it?
Oh, I mean, he literally just retired because of the difficulty of modern coaching. Not only does he have to endure that, but he has to step into a school that is about to face NCAA punishment.
If no, there's anybody that can get them out of NCAA punishment, it's Nick.
That is Nick that would is
convince true. The NCAA to hit Harbaugh and not the school. So I'm kind of making a funny, but let me just tell you this. If Nick said I wanted $25 million, I'd find $25 million.
They have a rich alumni base, so...
Dave Portnoy could front it his own damn self, I think, if he wanted to.
I don't know if he has that much money.
Okay. Elks with a $5 super chat says he hopes that Goodell and the NFL keep the same energy they had with Tressel and the players making them carry over the NCAA sanctions into the NFL.
That was so long ago. I understand what he's saying, that if you're going to take those actions that you did a couple of, you know, that was over 10 years ago, I think, with Terrell Pryor and all those guys. I think if you're going to do that, like, yes, you know, you need to, if you set a precedent, you need to hold the precedent. But at the same time, it was so goddamn stupid that they did that because it's not in their jurisdiction. I would hope that he doesn't, because then they can kind of revert and, you know, eliminate that from being in the NFL.
Yeah, I don't think that they should do that. He sends his $2 super chat, says more getting hit with suspension and show calls.
Or is that just an assumption?
I think that might be an assumption. I mean, well, here's the question. Does Sherrone Moore get popped in any of this investigation stuff? I have not seen his name brought up anywhere.
No. Mason Blue published an article. It says sources Sherrone Moore expected to be named Michigan head coach. That was published 40 minutes ago. But it doesn't look like this is solidified information.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I think that the other part of this too is like why you could hire Sherrone Moore is that it makes cooperation with the NCAA a little bit easier. Does that make sense?
I really don't know. Maybe.
Because you have someone to pop, you know, you have somebody to say like, oh, he was part of this, suspend him, and Sherrone Moore can, you know,
that'd be really dumb. Yeah, that'd be really low down and shitty.
I'm not saying that they would sell him out. I'm saying that, like, you know, you promote Sherrone Moore and then you say like, well, the NCAA is kind of trying to, you know, give us these punishments. Maybe they can just make it some sort of a suspension or something. I don't know the level that this is working, but I don't know if that makes it easier instead of it being like a monetary or a bowl ban for the next head coach.
Jim Harbaugh is the first head coach since Tom Osborne to win a national championship and not return next season. How about that?
Where did Tom Osborne go?
Nebraska.
Did he retire?
No, he just retired. No. He went out walking. He says Stallions was talking into his ear during the games.
I don't even know. Do we have evidence of that? I haven't read the, obviously I haven't read like the whole report, and I don't know how much everything has really been out there, but I don't think we're getting into any of our other topics, by the way.
We're not.
But I mean, we can hit on Will Rogers and we can just do the.
Okay, well, we need to hit the portal thing really quickly.
Okay.
Joe, worried about Michigan right now if, because players have 30 days to hit the portal, would you be worried for Michigan?
Yeah, I mean, there's one guy that really stands out, and then there's a couple others that I think are going to immediately be on the radar. I mean, shit, Kalen DeBoer's smart enough, and somebody jokingly commented about Mike Norvell being advantageous with the portal moves. You have the opportunity. We've criticized him for not building up their offensive and defensive lines. You have the opportunity to go do that with some serious bread, tamper the hell out of him while whoever it ends up being. If it's not Shrone Moore, like we just saw, it's going to take about a week and a half, 2 weeks to get your feet down on the ground. And by the time that happens, I'm sure a bunch of teams are going to have contact with the top players. The two for me that are the most important are one, Mason Graham, the defensive tackle, who would be plug and play, immediate national championship caliber player that would immediately massively boost the level of your defense, future first round pick. Colston Loveland, who's the highly impactful tight end in the red offense, and he would actually work well in Alabama's offense because he's a vertical guy, he's very athletic. And then Alex Orji, Donovan Edwards, either of those guys I think would be in the mix. And they have that five-star quarterback that they just pulled.
Yeah, so look, I don't I wouldn't be worried yet, because if Shrone Moore is elevated, I don't think a lot of kids are leaving. I do think there will be teams tampering, though. So you're going to have to make this decision very, very, very soon. And look, there are players on that team that I know that a lot of teams, especially along the defensive line, that people would want to poach and tamper with. So you need to move a little bit quickly there. I want to talk about Will Rogers staying at Washington? Okay.
Yeah, let's do it.
Joe, God bless it. Will Rogers, I almost forgot his name. Will Rogers staying at Washington, had gone in the portal from Mississippi State, goes to Washington, enters the portal after DeBoer leaves. A lot of people thought that he would go to Alabama in the beginning part of it. Never really makes a trip, doesn't really say much. You don't hear much, but Will Rogers, after Jed Fish is hired as the Washington head coach, is staying with the Huskies. Are you a little surprised there?
No, and I was more surprised that he made the decision to decommit in a way or re-enter the portal, in the sense that if he goes to Alabama, he's not the clear-cut next guy to start, because we don't know how that's going to play out with Jalen Milroe, between him and then also like Ty Simpson. How does he factor in? He's still a young football player that's progressing. Obviously, Julian Sain's no longer there. I mean, Jed Fish has experience working with quarterbacks, helping them elevate their play. Is it the same level or type of offense that Kalen DeBoer had? No, it's a completely different type of offense. But Washington doesn't really have any quarterbacks that are ready to play right now. They lost I'm blanking on the kid's name that was right underneath Austin, him that was a high
– Austin Mack?
No, well, not Austin Mack. There was another kid that was a highly recruited player that's transferring to JMU. They did end up losing some depth there. So Will Rogers is still going to come right in and play, and I think that this is good for their offense. You know, I think that Washington's expectation shouldn't be to win the Big Ten and go to a national championship in 2024. But for them to win 10 games is – plausible, because Jed Fish is a really good coach and he boosts the quality of the offense.
I agree. And look, anytime you can be a first-year head coach and have an experienced quarterback like a Will Rogers, I think it makes the transition a little bit easier. Obviously, his quarterback, Jed Fish's quarterback at Arizona, isn't going anywhere yet. So I think it's a big deal. I think it's a big win for Washington. And I know that you're not high on Will Rogers. I know we kind of had this discussion the other day. I'm old enough. I think that Will Rogers, the coaching staff around Will Rogers this past year really hurt him, because, Joe, they're running plays from under center 1 week, going 12 personnel, wanting to be a run-heavy football team. And then the next week, they're trying to re-implement the air raid. So I think Will Rogers got a really bad rap because of how bad the Zach Arnett era was, that people forget how good he was under Mike Leach. And that last year, God rest his soul, rest in peace, Mike Leach, that year that they won 9 games, and Joe, they won 9 games at Mississippi State. Okay? Like, with a very difficult schedule. It's not this like – go ahead.
No. Finish your point.
It's just not like Will Rogers didn't face a lot of really good opponents. Like, I remember him facing – like, Joe, you can make the argument that Will Rogers' least toughest opponent the year that he had with Mike Leach was LSU. That had 9 dudes drafted because they went 6-6. So, again, if LSU – because Orr's run like big titty blonde women, okay? If that dysfunctional LSU team who had 9 players drafted was the least talented or least productive team that he faced, I just think Will Rogers is a good addition to Washington.
Yeah, this is going to sound really weird, but I feel more comfortable with it under Jed Fish than I do Kalen DeBoer and him going to Alabama. And to explain that a little bit, him being the follow-up for Michael Penix in Kalen DeBoer's offense at Washington felt weird because they're really different players. Arm strength is different. All that stuff is different. And then him being in Alabama feels really weird because, like, I feel like they could do so much better at the position. Him being at Washington under Jed Fish, that feels like something that's going to work well. First-year coach, experienced player. He's not going to be one of the top 3 quarterbacks in the Big Ten this upcoming year. But I think that he helps them and elevates the team a little bit to be competitive early.
We'll see. I think it's a. I mean, look, I just think it's a. I think it's a great way to start off your tenure if you're Jed Fish and you're going into the Big Ten too. So you need a. You're going to need a guy that's had a lot of experience, and him having experience in the SEC, I think really helps you there. All right.
Yep.
Anything else that we need to wrap up on here?
No, I wonder how quickly Michigan moves.
I don't know. I legitimately don't know, but I'm not moving off my stance on that. I can't. I mean, think he'll be a good coach, but just I can't, you know. I don't know, Joe. I just don't think you can run in. You could go in there and say that you know for a fact he's going to be a good head coach when he hasn't ever been a head coach.
I mean, I don't think you know for a fact, but at the very least, I mean, the guy, we've watched him coach a game. We know he knows the roster and the roster likes him. We know he's a good recruiter. We know he's a good talent developer. I mean, he was the offensive line coach. What was the most important part of that team?
Well, both lines of scrimmage. You could say that Mike Elston should get the head coaching job because he's a Michigan man, and look what their D-line looked like.
But Mike Elston was never, like, as hands-on as Sharon Moore was.
Did you see their D-line?
No, I'm saying that he wasn't calling plays. He wasn't one of the interim coaches during these suspensions.
You know who would be the best head coach of all time at Michigan? Like, it should not even be a question. Tom Brady.
Tom Brady's not going to take that job. Are you kidding me?
You know,
Tommy Rees. They could pick up the phone. Call Tommy Rees.
It's true. But you know how fans are. Fans are going to be like, hire Tom Brady. Heard he ain't doing nothing. You know that there's going to be some stupid Michigan fan that's out there saying, hire Tom Brady.
He's making more money than he needs to be.
Sleeping with supermodels. How is he the one that gets paid for having sex with supermodels?
Well, no, it's not that. I'm saying that because his Fox contract that he just got is like,
I forgot about that.
Ridiculous.
All right, Brian Kelly to Michigan. We'll see y'all on Sunday. Y'all have a good night, guys. Peace.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time. There's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.